Again, likely take your Bibles, if you would, and please turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, we're going to begin reading verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But I say that Israel not know, first Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask me. But Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. In the world, as we even noticed with the road bandit this morning, if you were here, there's evil people. There's people that are just contrary. You ever run into any of those people? Would you believe once in a while you'll see somebody like that at Walmart? On the job site. Did you ever feel like when you were dealing with somebody like that, boy, I just wish I could give them a piece of my mind? Maybe. But what do they really need? What's the answer for the world? It's when the gospel is sounded out. And we're going to talk about sounding it out tonight, and you'll see why here in just a moment. But that's an interesting phrase, sounded out. If you look at verse 17, Scripture says their sound has gone out to all of the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Sound. It's hard to escape sound, isn't it? I go home, I think, oh, I just need some peace and quiet. Sit down and dogs barking constantly. If that's not bad enough, I got a cat that goes meow, meow. Which means I got to get out and go give her a treat, do something she wants me to do. And if that's not enough, I could go on. But don't need to. Y'all understand, don't you? There's sound everywhere. But there's sounds that mean more than others, and that's important. Because when we hear certain things, those certain things get our attention. In Acts chapter 2, we have an amazing incident. How many of you realize that the majority of the folks that heard the first gospel sermon were not there to hear a first gospel sermon? In Acts chapter 2. In fact, what happened to the apostles with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, and they're speaking in the languages that were of the languages of the people, the folks were directed because of the sound of it. In fact, some of them didn't quite get it because they accused the apostles of being drunk. That wasn't what was going on, was it? They were there to speak. And what's fascinating in Acts chapter 2, the sound is that they were able to speak so that everybody gathered there and they had come from all different parts of the world to be there for Pentecost. They heard the sound of language. And that language was important because it made a difference in their life. Now, young people, you all are more familiar with this than most of the adults here. Did you know that? Do you ever have your teacher say to you, attention class? Did that teacher ever do any clapping to get your attention? Yeah, the teacher wants your attention. And sometimes what does a teacher have to do? Because everybody's talking. What do they have to do? They have to yell, get loud. Now, I'm married to a retired school teacher who still teaches once in a while. Substitutes, that's right. You've probably seen her there, haven't you? Yeah. And I know one thing. She can get pretty loud and get the attention of the class real quick. In fact, she's really good at getting attention. You ought to see what she does with her dad. When she says, it's time to go, she gets his attention. And then what do you think she does to me? She can sound it out so that I have given her my attention. What's the problem with a teacher like this? What kind of class we got here? Yeah, not a very good one, right? Not going to learn too well. And you know, she says, I don't want to hear a sound. I think it's too late, right? Yeah, it's too late. Well, I don't know if y'all know this, but they got a whole lot of folks working against the class. Because teachers go to school. And when they go to school, they learn things about how to get attention in class. And there's things put out just like this. 5 ways to get attention in an elementary classroom. Now, adults, I don't know why they would have to be taught that, do you? Yes, I do. You know too, don't you? For me to say that would not be saying the truth, because what do young people like to do? They like to exercise their rights to show you they're full of energy. And they do that in a classroom. And so teachers are taught how to get attention in class. And one of the things that Kathy told me she did, she says to her class, all right, class, class. And they know when they hear that second class, that they better be a first class. Class, right? You got that, class? So that's right. She uses the 2 classes. She wants the first class. Now this teacher here is obviously with her horn shouting out so she can get attention. And speaking of horns, how many of y'all play trumpet? I know Nathaniel played trombone back there. And none of the young people here are playing instruments yet. But what's significant about a trumpet? They are beautiful instruments when you learn to play them. But when you don't quite know yet and you're first starting out to play one, as long as you can get a sound out of it, what's going to happen? You're going to get somebody's attention. Well, originally horns were what they were. They were literally ram's horns. And that horn, just by its God-given shape because of the Creator, they could be a horn on an animal could be turned into a very loud trumpet. And when those trumpets would sound, they were designed to get attention. We read in Jeremiah 4 about the trumpet. And Jeremiah says, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. And that's common throughout the Old Testament. When you read about the trumpet sounding, it was to let folks know that there's something about to happen. And so trumpets were used to signal and they were used to sound warning and sound alarm. Now, if a tornado is coming in Marshfield, what do y'all get to hear? Sirens. And if you ever look at a siren, what's it got on the end of it? A trumpet, literally. To sound out the warning. In Jeremiah 6, verse 17, Jeremiah reads, I set a watchman over you saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. If a tornado warning is sounding out, what do we want to do? We want to listen, don't we? Because if we don't, we might be in trouble. I don't know if y'all can see this. I'll blow it in for the adults sitting in the back. In Joel 2, verse 1, Joel exclaims, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm. God had warned His people that a nation from the east was going to come, and they were not going to enjoy the coming of this nation to visit. Because it was not going to be a pleasant visit. In fact, it was going to be a visit that would bring destruction, and it would come like a whirlwind, the prophets would say, like a tornado. And even though the trumpets would sound warning, it would be too late when that nation arrived. And the reason that they were in danger constantly awaiting this arrival of the invading nation was because of their sin. But that was because they wouldn't listen to those who were being sent to give the people warning. In Ezekiel 33 and verse 5, the scripture says, he heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. When God sounds a warning, He expects folks to listen. When God sounds a warning, He wants people's attention. And if a person refuses to hear the warning, then what this scripture is telling us, he's responsible. And that is proven over and over again by scripture. Okay, all of our young people here tonight know what this is. It's one of those smoky detectors, right? Not Smokey the Bear either. And what do smoke detectors do, Alex? They sound a annoying warning. And I am thankful that I've only heard those whenever the battery's dead. Now, we got some folks sitting right back there that's heard it other times, and it's not a good, pleasant sound when it's for real, is it? But what's the design of the smoke alarm? John? To warn you that there's a fire, that there's a problem. And what happens if you ignore it? It could be fatal, couldn't it? Not a good thing. Now, for those that go to school, one of the things that we had to experience while I was working for Rogersville is the problem with false alarms. Now, a true alarm is good. But if you got a faulty smoke detector and it just keeps going off in the middle of the night about 3:30, not a good thing, right? I've had one of those. False alarm. But have you ever had one of these at school where somebody pulls the alarm? Paul is going, yeah. High school kids love it. But I think the seniors put up the freshmen, because it always seems to happen when the first of the year the freshmen are responsible for doing it. Not to pick on anybody, no matter how old or young you are, but that's just the way it seemed to be. And of course, what would happen when they sound the alarm at school? Everybody's got to go where? Outside. Y'all been outside? Have you been outside for a false alarm? Or just a test? Well, a false alarm is exactly that, a false alarm. But what does it do for us? Yeah, it tells us we need to watch out for what's real and what's false. I want to share with you a false alarm.